my first guest, who is on the line. He's Dr. Ze'ev Chanin. He is Associate Professor with the Department of Political Studies at Bar-Ilan University, and he's a Senior Researcher at Ariel University as well. And we're going to be chatting about who's controlling the Straits of Hormuz. Dr. Chanin, thank you for being with me on Chai FM.
Thanks for the invitation. Shalom to you and all your listeners.
Dr. Chanin, it kind of just strikes me that for the last couple of months, we've all been talking about the Straits of Hormuz, and I'm sure that many of us actually don't understand the basic principles at play when it comes to international waterways and closure of straits and the like. I want to talk to you about UNCLOS, the United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea, because it just strikes me that most of us don't even know that there is such a convention. If I could ask you, if you could just kind of summarize very briefly for me, what is the United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea? What is it actually, and what problem was it created to solve?
Well, as far as I know, the story is that the ocean and the seas and the straits, if they do not belong to a specific country, they are open for shipping of any vessel from any country, from any state of the world, unless there are no special sanctions in concern of that state or that country or this fleet. For example, if you will take like these two streams from the Black Sea to Aegean Sea. The both sides of them are controlled by Turkey. Mm. So Turkey is responsible for the streams, and they normally take payment, quite substantial payment, I would say, and even raise this payment for 15% very, very recently. So that's, according to international law, they're able and they're permitted to do that. But Iran on the one side of the Hormuz stream and Oman on the other side, they actually share this territory, the stream, the Hormuz stream. So they are not permitted to take the payment for that, they are unable to demand, as far as I understand the situation. Probably there are more people in experts in international sea law would explain it more perfectly than me. But in principle, I would say that this demand of Iranians that they are actually owning the stream and should control them, have a right to control them and take money or to give or not to give the permissions to take it, to use it, which is, of course, as far as I understand, and out of any article of the international law.
I'm struggling with this exact point, this issue of tolling and charging ships to enter and leave the straits, because the Iranians were saying this is what they intended to do. The Americans said you absolutely can't do this. This is an international waterway and boats are guaranteed freedom of passage. But right now, we have the Americans talking about levying a toll on ships doing exactly that. So what is this? Is this a case of people obeying laws when it suits them and disagreeing when it doesn't?
Well, in fact, this has very much to do with the politics and very little to do with the economy and international law. The fact is that Iranian radical Islamist regime, they use this Hormuz Stream as a tool in order to fight the United States, or it's better to say the coalition of Israel, United States, and some of the countries of Arab states of the Persian Gulf. And since they're unable to defeat this coalition, anti-Iranian coalition, military, so they're trying to do it like in the way just closing the Hormuz Stream. The United States also was trying to close this Hormuz Stream for ships from Iran, belonging to Iran, and this is more or less the case. That's the military and political issue rather than diplomatic, economic, or legal.
I hear you, and what you're saying makes so much sense to me. It's just that the U.S. appears to have moved the rails somewhat, in that they appear to be saying that they're now wanting to charge 20% toll for safe passage, I guess because they want to recoup the expenses involved in keeping them open. Yeah. But nevertheless, I mean, is this legal? I suppose in terms of UNCLOS.
Again, it's the question to a lawyer, but I would say that it's questionable, at least. At the end of the day, when the situation with Iran will be resolved, this or that way, either agreement will be signed or this regime, Iranian regime, will be defeated. I don't think that this issue, who should pay and who should be charged and not be charged, will come back. But still, if somebody liked it, there is a need to defend these vessels that are using this stream. And actually, as you know, this Hormuz stream as a way for a very substantial part of oil and gas transfer, energy transfer to Asia and Southeast Asia and East Asia and so on and so forth, they might discuss the issue that it's not just charging, but it's a sort of a payment for defense of the set. However, I believe that it will not stand for a long time. No.
Well, let's see. It'll be fascinating to watch how this plays itself out. What's also fascinating to me is that not too far away, I think it's Bab el-Mand at the Red Sea, is another very valuable, very important waterway. And it's very interesting to me that the Houthis in Yemen haven't exercise their power and control over that stranglehold on the world economy as well. From an Israeli perspective, because you are based in Israel, is this something that worries Israelis?
Well, it worries Israelis, but probably less than China, India, and Japan, and Korea. As far as Israel is concerned, we get overwhelming majority of energy supply from countries like Azerbaijan, Kazakhstan, and some other states. From this point of view, this is not the case of Israel concerning the energy stability. But it's a question, certainly it's the question whether a regime in Iran will survive, anti-Israeli, anti-Semitic, and anti-Zionist, or it will survive. And our potential partners and current Israeli partners would have to take all the story into account. And this will be a big problem.
So it's really interesting because all very well, we've ascertained the law might say one thing, but realpolitik is certainly another. It looks like we've entered the era of might is right, and that'll dictate at the end of the day. It seems to me that that's where we've arrived in this issue. This isn't really about law. It's about power and leverage, isn't it?
Absolutely. In any way, I am unable to explain it differently.
Yeah, no, that makes a whole bunch of sense to me. Dr. Zeev Khanin, thank you so much for chatting to me on Chai FM this afternoon. This is a really complicated issue with no simple answers at all.